And our next presenter is our my good friend, Brandon House. Brandon House is the producer of Absolute Proof, Siege, and he's also the man you see him on hosting on Lindell TV all the time. And he happens to know a lot about the Bible and a lot about the Great Reset. Ladies and gentlemen, please stand to your feet and greet Brandon House.
Good afternoon. How are you guys doing? Great to be with you. We just drove up here from Memphis this morning out of the Mid-South, where we have our studios and where we run WVWTV.com and LindellTV.com. How many of you know about Lindell TV? And Mike Lindell and I launched that. It'll be 2 years ago this April. Now we consistently have 4 to 5 million viewers. So we invite you to join us at Lindell TV. If you have your Bibles, turn with me very quickly to Genesis chapter 3. Did you guys know the Great Reset is in the Bible? The Great Reset is in the Bible. I could spend hours today, but I've only got minutes. But I want to give you the good overview, a big overview. I want to share with you the bad news, and then I'm going to conclude with the good news. Clay called me a few months ago. He said, can you speak on the Great Reset and how it fits in with a biblical worldview? I said, I can absolutely do that. How many of you this week saw that the White House, it came out January 10th, 2023, the White House has put up a North American declaration? They want to merge America, Mexico, and Canada. They've also put this on the website of the Canadian government. And we go back to 2005 when George W. Bush held a meeting in Waco with the president of Mexico, the prime minister of Canada, and George W. Bush was working on the idea of a North American Union. If you saw my TV show last night, my guest included Tom DeWeese, Patrick Wood, and Leo Homan, and I played a video from 2005. And a very young Brett Baer of Fox News asked President Bush about the idea of a North American Union. And President George W. Bush, he brushed it aside in kind of a smirk as conspiracy theory. Well, folks, the things they said were conspiracy, we're now finding out their reality. But this is indeed a conspiracy. It is a satanic conspiracy. The Great Reset, folks, is based on the great lie. Genesis chapter 3, go with me if you would, to verse 5. Satan says, in the form of a serpent to Eve, for God knows that in the day that you eat from this fruit, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good from evil. Right there we see the big lie. You will be like God. Humanism. Man is his own God. You will decide what is right and what is wrong. Moral relativism, situational ethics, postmodernism. Whatever you believe is true for you. We see there, you will know what is right, what is wrong. You'll decide, and your eyes will be open through esoteric truth. You'll encounter esotericism, hidden truth, Gnosticism, knowledge. And today they do that through the occult. They do it through altered states of consciousness, drugs, hypnosis. We know the 1960s, some folks said they didn't want to do the drugs, you know. Timothy O'Leary, tune in, turn on, drop out. Altered states of consciousness that open you up to many ways to God, he says to Aldous Huxley. And others said, no, we don't want to do the drugs. And so here comes the Maharishi with transcendental meditation, a new name for an old practice, yoga, which in Sanskrit means yoke or union with a Hindu god. And yet how many churches today have Christian yoga? That's about as stupid as a Christian Ouija board. And yet they're looking for hidden knowledge. They're looking for hidden knowledge. Isn't that today what we see? These people believe they are gods. They believe they will decide what is right and what is wrong. They believe that they can encounter their occultism and find hidden knowledge that makes them better than us. We're the little people. Many of us, they say, are not even worthy to live. We are the useless eaters, for they have tapped into what they say is ultimate truth, and they're more spiritually enlightened and involved than you and I. This Great Reset is based on the great lie. Turn with me, if you would, over to Romans. Romans chapter 1. I'm going to share with you what is happening right now. Romans chapter 1. We're going to have to move very quickly. I believe Romans 1 describes what God does to a people that continually practice what we see in Genesis 3. continuing to suppress the truth and unrighteousness, and they are fools. Five things happen when God finally says, if that's what you want, then I will give you over to it. I will give you over to it. And I believe God is, if not already, on the verge of giving over the whole world to the Great Reset. That's the bad news. I'll conclude with the good news. How do we know when God starts to give over a nation or a people or the world? Look at Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse 22. Professing to be wise, they became fools. When God gives over a people, they become fools. In the original translation, that means vain, useless, or futile in their thinking. Vain, useless, or futile. Do we have a lot of so-called world leaders today that are fools, that are vain and useless and futile in their thinking? Yes, we do. What's the second consequence when God gives you over? And it says there in the text, verse 25, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served creation rather than the Creator who's blessed forevermore. When God gives over a people, they worship nature. Pantheism, all is God. Panentheism, God is in all. They worship Mother Earth, Gaia, earth worship. Number one, they become a nation of fools. Number two, they worship nature. Number three, we see right here, verse 26. Further, women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural, and in the same way also the man abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in the desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. What happens when God gives a people over? They practice the LGBTQ plus lifestyle, and they celebrate it, and they declare it as normal, and anyone that opposes it, they deem a hater and intolerant. The fourth thing, verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, wicked, and greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastfuls, and inventors of evil. I'm going to stop there. Disobedient to parents, goes on and on. What happens when God gives over a people? Number four, they revel in evil. They revel in evil. He gives them over. You become a violent and debased culture. Violent and debased. How many are we seeing today on the news constantly? A violent, evil nation and world and crime spiking. Look at verse 32, the fifth consequence when God gives over a people. And although they knew the ordinances of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give healthy approval to those who practice them. The fifth consequence is when God gives over a nation, the leaders, knowing the righteous judgments of God, because Romans 1 says it's written on their heart and their mind, conscience, con means with, science means knowledge, con means with, science means knowledge, they sin with the knowledge they've offended a holy and just God. They know it. It's written on their heart and their mind. Moral law, general revelation. But even though they know these things, what's it say? They approve of doing that which is against God. So you end up with leaders that know the righteous judgments of God, but tell the people to do the exact opposite anyway. These are the five consequences when God gives over a nation. Now go over to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. I believe what we're seeing now, and I had a whole 90 minutes last night on this at WVWTV.com, LindellTV.com, with Patrick Wood, Leo Holman, Tom DeWeese, and I believe, as I have the screenshots from the European Commission from years ago, I have the screenshots from the United Nations, I have the screenshots from the Club of Rome. They have long desired to divide the world into 10 regions. This North American declaration by the Biden regime, by Canada and Mexico, they desire to divide the world into 10 regions. The Great Reset is all about this too. In fact, if you read this North American Declaration, it reads like the Great Reset, all about the LGBTQ, it's about electric vehicles, it's about batteries, it's about dealing with intolerance, hate, it's the Great Reset. You see, the Great Reset includes also the idea of world government, and they are dividing right now the world into 10 regions. Well, that sounds interesting. Revelation chapter 17, look with me if you would at verse 12. The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received the kingdom. At the time John the Revelator was writing, they had not received a kingdom. But these 10 leaders or 10 kings will receive one in time. And when they do, They will receive their authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour, for a period of time. And then it goes on to say they have one purpose, and they give their power and authority to the beast. I believe what's being described here is 10 world divisions, a North American Union, a European Union, an Asian Union, just as we see the Club of Rome, the United Nations, and the European Commission already dividing the world into 10 regions. Vicente Fox on Larry King a few years ago was asked by Larry King and a caller, are we headed toward a North American Union, like a European Union, a Euro? He didn't say no. He said, that's down the line. I played the video last night. He didn't doubt it. He said, that's just down the line. Well, my friends, I believe there will be 10 regions of the world, the divided, and then these 10 leaders will give their authority to a one world leader, and the great reset will be accomplished. Satan is desiring right now to set up his kingdom on earth. I believe he is trying to set up a Eurocentric world government, just like we see in Babylon and Genesis 10 and 11. And Revelation 17 tells us that this very place gave birth. She is the mother of harlots, and she gave birth to this false religious system in Genesis 10 and 11, and it will regroup once again as described in Revelation 17. Satan is trying to set up his spiritual kingdom. But you want the good news? Go over with me, if you would, to Daniel. Daniel chapter 2. Here is the good news. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. In the days of those kings, which kings? The 10 kings we just saw, the 10 kings that just united with the Antichrist. In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it will itself endure forever. Daniel chapter 2 is describing God's kingdom. It will come. It will crush Satan's kingdom, the Great Reset. And God's kingdom will be forever and ever. And isn't that what is the prayer of the disciples? We call it the Lord's Prayer, but it would be more accurately described as the disciples' prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That will happen during that millennial reign of Christ. And we long for that day. How many of us say, even so, Lord Jesus, quickly come and night shall be no more? So the bad news is Satan is going to get a spiritual kingdom for a period of time. You say, Brandon, if you know these things are going to happen, why are you fighting it? Because we are called to occupy until Christ returns. We are called to oppose evil. My friends, Albert Einstein, a Jewish man in Nazi Germany, he looked around and he saw what was happening and he thought, where are the editorials? Where are the editorials? The flaming editorials against what the Nazis are doing, they had long since been silent. He looked at the professors. Where are the professors speaking out on what Hitler's doing? They had long since been silent. And then he said, and I looked and I saw this group standing squarely across the path of Adolf Hitler. It was the Confessing Church of Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Martin Niemöller. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who they hung with a piano wire. Niemöller, who they threw into a concentration camp, and thankfully he survived. He said, I saw this small group of Christians standing squarely across Satan's path. And he says, I now must confess that of which I had great disdain, I now unreservedly praise. Can I tell you, my friends, the unsaved world is watching to say, are Christians going to just say, oh, it's been prophesied to happen, so let's not do anything about it? Or are they going to say, yes, the Bible is a sure word of prophecy. These things will come to pass, but we oppose them because they are not according to God's perfect will. There's God's perfect will and his providential will, and we will oppose this. And as we do that, we are proclaiming the truth of the gospel of Christ. They have the great reset, my friends, but we have the great victory in Christ, for he is our great Savior. I often have people say to me, how do you do what you do day in and day out? I said, there's only one reason I can do this, is because I have the blessed hope. I understand that God is sovereign. He's in control. And yes, these are bad things that are happening, but they tell me that God is sovereign and he's in control. The former chaplain to the congressional houses, Peter Marshall, many years ago said, it is better to fail in a cause that will ultimately succeed than to succeed in a cause that will ultimately fail. Their great reset will fail. our cause will prevail because the Bible has told us so. I've read the end. We win. They have the great reset. We have the great Savior. Thank you so much.